Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You're now tuned in to the Chefs, the AFC Brunch. Let's go.
PP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you, people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Lark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Lark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the fact, yeah. Good morning, welcome. The brunch is ready to be served. I am Mr. Mose, Mark Mosley, holding down the switchboard. I got my co-host, my brother, Mr. CT Zone, Mr. TP in the building. Welcome to the AFC Brunch.
Let's go. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie. Step inside the kitchen, Timeless is alive, man. SportsCityChef.com is that website. Continue to check us out. Spread the word about the boys, man. Call the number if y'all don't know, 917-889-9592. A lot of interesting stuff to get into, perspectives and views that we may have. It's the brunch. I'm ready, Mark. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, grateful to be waking up on another Sunday morning, the last of August. What can you say? The summer went by fast, and I got to say, I am very, very excited. We are 2 weeks away, and the brunch really gets heating up come September. We know the volume gets increased with the NFL season, so I figured let's kick off 2 weeks to go, and let's do the AFC brunch today. So that's what we have on the menu for all you tuned in. TP did shout out the call-in number. I'll do it once again, 917-889-9592. We're going to be spending the next 90 minutes talking AFC football. Next week will be part two, will be the NFC conference. We're doing 2 weeks of preview. We're going to be talking about the divisions, who we like as fantasy sleepers in each division, an impact player or two, and who's going to be the wild cards that come out of these divisions. So we got 2 weeks to go until the NFL kickoff. So what better way to bring in the new season, but to talk about these divisions. But Timeless, I'm excited. I'm up and early with you rocking out. I'm not gonna spend too much time tiptoeing around it. We only have 90 minutes, so I'm gonna get right into it. The AFC conference once again is a very deep and loaded conference. What can you say? You know, last year the New England Patriots won it. This year, it's up for grabs. I'm sure we're going to hit on 5 to 7 teams that we personally think can win this whole thing. But we're going to break down division by division, and I'm going to go first right to it. I'm going to go to the AFC South. Let us talk about the AFC South. Like I said, we'll have a couple of questions each on what part as callers come in. We'll get them in the mix. So I'm just going to generally throw out there to you, what do you think about the AFC South this year? And without picking who's going to win it, who's your favorite and maybe non-favorite of this division?
The AFC South, of course, the favorite is the Texans right now. They clearly they won the division last year, especially with Peyton Manning being out of their head with the injury. Sleeper could be actually the Colts or the Titans. It depends on, you know, what Jake Locker presents or if he starts to slide and they put Haskell back in and if it might be too late. And also to see if Chris Johnson has that flick because he looks pretty good in his preseason, but also looking at the Indianapolis Colts, it's a lot of that rookie hoopla around Andrew Luck and how he's going to perform. But the way he looked yesterday in the game up against the Redskins, even though it's the Redskins' defense, he did throw the ball around a lot. You can tell he has a good feel for this offense. He looks comfortable. Even when the rush comes, he steps up in the pocket and makes that throw. So this is actually going to be an interesting division. As much as people may look down at it and just, well, I'm actually clear-cut giving it to the Texans too, but by any means, all of these games should be interesting looking at this division from a view.
Yeah, I think this division is wide open. I know Houston has to be the favorite. The Colts are rebuilding. But to be fully honest with you, I think Tennessee could definitely be a player in this division. Jacksonville, there is a little level of uncertainty. I've heard different things about Maurice Jones-Drew. I'm not sure when he's expected to be back, if it's all about his knee, if it's all about money, if it's all about, you know, what. But right now he's, you know, a missing cog, but yet they're playing good in preseason, but it's just sad. It's preseason. So I think, you know, if I'm going to say favorites, I have to agree with you. If you're talking about AFC South here, Houston has to be the clear-cut favorite in the division. They have the playmakers. If they can stay healthy, this is going to be a dynamic team all around. And I'm very intrigued by the Colts. How long does it take Andrew Luck to rebuild this team? Obviously, I don't think anybody expects this team to be a playoff contender. But, I mean, can Andrew Luck get them to 8-8? Will they win six games? I mean, this is a team last year, once Peyton went down, that's just it. They went down. And how fast and how good is this rookie quarterback? He's been pretty sensational so far in his limited time in the preseason. It's going to be intriguing. I'm looking forward to week one. The Bears get to play the Colts. So I'm going to see firsthand right off the bat how good he is and also how good our defense will go against an up-and-coming quarterback because, you know, he can really show our age, if you know what I mean. And I think the Colts are definitely a team that I'm intrigued by this year. You got to be just based upon the fact that Peyton is now gone. So the post-Peyton era, what it will look like in Indy, AFC South. TP, I'm gonna bring in a caller. One, because I know this guy knows his stuff. I know he wants to talk some AFC with us. So I'm going to bring in to the AFC brunch, Mr. Brock. James, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me, Mose. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, yes. We are doing a two-part segment leading up to the NFL kickoff. So this week we're doing AFC, next week NFC. Right now we're talking AFC South, just the general view, and then I'm going to get into some questions. I guess you probably hear us talking our favorites and maybe teams of intrigue. What do you think about the AFC South?
The AFC South is generally considered a one-team division, and most likely it is. Without injuries, I expect the Houston Texans to be the team in that division. And more than likely a first round bye in the AFC as far as the playoffs are concerned. I mean the Titans do have an off chance at making it to the playoffs. They do work in an easy division, and they have a good team. And Chris Johnson is expected to come back a little bit stronger. It's going to really depend on how well Jake Locker works within this new format that he'll be in as the starter. Blaine Gabbert is looking very good in preseason, but the question really becomes, has he improved to the point where he can really start working against true NFL defenses? Last night he was playing in his third preseason game where they start to open up a little bit of the playbook and he looked really shaky. He didn't play half as well as he played in the first two preseason games. So that's still a major concern moving forward with Blaine Gabbert. The Mauricio Drew situation is also a concern, but I think Rashad Jennings will more than make up for at least most of that production, in my opinion. Then there's the Colts. Andrew looks another one of those quarterbacks that looks great in preseason, makes a few mistakes, learns from them, and this is what you would expect from a rookie quarterback. The defense is the big question. People seem to think that the defense is the big question, but they've really done a lot to make sure this transition to the 3-4 is as smooth as humanly possible. And one guy that was kind of left for dead, well, not literally, but figuratively, as far as his NFL career is concerned, is Jerry Hughes. But the fact that he's now standing up has really put a big boost into his career. So they're now 3 deep at the linebacker position and can still really get after the quarterback. But it's going to be interesting for those back 2 spots. I think 1 and 2 are pretty much set between the Titans and the Texans, and 3 and 4 will be a battle for this season.
All right, so I'm going to go right into some of my division questions. Timeless, I'll come to you first. If you could give me one name for the AFC South that you say will be the impact player of the year, who would you say it's going to be?
Whoa. Impact player of the year. I got to go with Luck. I got to go with Luck. Just because of where the Colts came from last year. What did they win? 2 games. I think it was 2-14 last year. As bad as it may look for the Colts because they lost Peyton Manning and they lost a good amount of pieces to that offense, I still think they look fine. And I think he actually carries them up. I think they'll have a positive effect more toward a negative effect. I don't think – of course they're going to move up. But I think this could go anywhere from, 4 to 5 games increase just due to what this guy presents on the field, man. So I'm actually giving Luck a little respect. Before, I just wanted to go out there and see what he's going to present, but then I actually watched that game yesterday up against the Redskins, and he looked impressive. Even when the rush was getting to him, when his offensive linemen were getting beat consistently, he still was, getting away from him because he's mobile. So I'm going to go with Andrew Luck to be the one impact guy.
Ross, what's your thoughts for an AFC South impact player?
Well, I'll go with the obvious one here. It's Arian Foster. He is the best running back in the league. Without him, well, sure, they'll be okay without him because Ben Tate is a very good player as well in his own right, but he's going to be the major impact player. He's going to be the superstar in that division.
All right, I'm gonna go different than both of you guys. I'm actually going to go with Tennessee's Chris Johnson. I think if Chris Johnson can have a monster year, kind of rebound, I mean, for Chris Johnson's standards, 1,000 rushing yards last year is not the 2,000 that he has posted. In order for the Tennessee Titans to be anywhere in the mix with the Houston Texans, you're going to need Chris Johnson to lead this team, take pressure off of the offensive line, and, give them some time. Give Locker some time. I think Chris Johnson has to have a monster year. He has to be an MVP contender like we know he can be. And all things will run Tennessee, I think, through CJ, 1K, whatever you want to call him, 2K, 1.5. It has to be a bounce-back year for him in order for the Titans. So I'm going to go with Chris Johnson as the impact player. I'm also going to throw out the other one is the fantasy sleeper of the AFC South. Broth, I'll come to you first. I'll let Thomas marinate on it. Who, if you can name one person, they could be, somebody that you could get in a 4th to 8th round, or you can give me somebody that is going to be undrafted. Who's your fantasy sleeper AFC South?
I'm going to go with Reggie Wayne. I think that Reggie Wayne could really have a breakout year. Chris Johnson is obviously going in the first round, and so is Andre Johnson and Arian Foster. So those guys are pretty much tops. But Reggie Wayne is probably going to be the guy as far as Andrew Luck's targets are concerned. I have a feeling they're going to be passing the ball a lot, considering that the running back position in Indianapolis is just not as strong as they would like it to be. They've got 3 okay number 2 guys, but none of them are a true number 1 running back, so That would actually, you know what? I'm gonna, if I may change it, I'm gonna go with Rashad Jennings. With all this stuff that's going on with Maurice Jones-Drew, he could find himself shipped out of Jacksonville, and even if he's not, he'll still be a guy that won't likely be playing for weeks one and two, just because he'll probably be out of what I would call football shape. He won't be fat or anything, but he'll be out of football shape. So Jennings is a guy you'll be able to get in the last round and will be able to start as kind of a handcuff to Maurice Jones-Drew.
All right, Timeless, I'll come to you. What do you think about the AFC South sleeper, someone under the radar? You hear Brock go back and forth there, but I think he settled in on Jennings. Who's your AFC South sleeper?
Now he went to the place where he was still in my Thunder, but he didn't get the player. I was going to go with Blackman. I'm going with Justin Blackman just because he's a big target and he's looking pretty good right now in the preseason. I just want to see if he could have this turnover into the regular season. If him and Gapper can make that connection, I think that he's probably one of the lone targets that a lot of the defense are going to try and hone in on. And if they can't facilitate and try to deal with him, he could actually self-disaster for a couple of secondaries. Not to say that the Jaguars are going to start pulling off wins left and right, but I think he will be a key component, especially with the likes of Jennings in the backfield and Mojo Drew being out. They're going to have to work with what they got.
Yeah, and originally, you know, I was agreeing kind of where Bross was going with Jennings. You know, I also was thinking Nate Washington out of Tennessee. But I'm gonna say this, and I hate to say this is a sleeper because I guess it has really not a sleeper. But as far as where you can probably draft him, I say Andrew Luck. I mean, Andrew Luck could very well end up putting up a top 10 statistical category in his first year, a la Cam Newton, and he's probably not getting picked in the first 10 rounds. I mean, for fantasy standards, you can steal him pretty late. I think Andrew Luck is poised to already put up good statistical numbers. You saw last night he had a nice 31-yard touchdown pass. He played well. He put up some good stats. I think Andrew Luck for where he can go, plus my other guys that I wanted to take, Jennings, are already gone. I'll say Andrew Luck could be a great fantasy sleeper late in a draft, or even in some leagues, you could probably pick him up after the draft. He'll probably still be floating around. I'll go here, guys. I'll go right into it. Who's going to win this division? And then part two of the division winning question is, will there be a wild card? Timeless, I'll let you shoot up first. Who's going to win the AFC, and will there be a wild card?
Well, who's going to win the AFC to win the AFC South? I'm going to go with the Texans. I can't even try to shy away from it right now. These teams have work to do before they could try to amount to what the Texans did. The Texans actually gave the Ravens some run in that playoff game, especially with their third-string quarterback and T.J. Yates. So I'm still giving the Texans as a favorite to take the division. And, no, I don't think there's a wild card that comes out of here. As much time that I am giving Andrew Luck, I don't think that he has 8-8 or 9-7 in him. I mean, I'll give him credit if he gets there because he has the potential, but it still is his rookie season.
All right. Brock, division winner, will there be a wild card out of the AFC South?
Well, the division winner is easily the Houston Texans. Barring any catastrophic injuries, they should be the team to win the AFC South. As far as wild cards, the Titans will probably be a game or two out. They'll be close, but I don't have them making the playoffs.
Yeah, I think we're going to go a three-way sweep here. As much as I would love to throw a monkey wrench in and tell you that the Titans or the Jags or the Colts are going to push the Houston Texans off the top, I don't see it. Even with injuries last year, this team is just so good that they were still able to pretty much run away with it. Backup quarterback, backup running backs, next man up, right? That's the motto. I think you have to pick the Houston Texans, so I'm going to agree. Let's make this a three-way strike, AFC South, Houston Texans, and I do agree there will not be a wild card come out of the AFC South. So our first division done, AFC South. From the south, I'm going to go north, go a little northbound. So I'll just ask the general question, what do you guys think about the AFC North this year, broad generalization, maybe some teams you like, teams you don't like?
Well, teams I don't like, probably the Browns. The Browns are very likely to be a top five pick in the draft yet again this year. The Bengals are an up-and-coming team, but I'm not all too sure about exactly where they come from. The big two teams in this division are the Ravens and the Steelers. We went over this yesterday on the Gridiron Chefs. The Steelers have a fantastically easy schedule. Their only real question mark is going to be how those two rookie offensive linemen are going to come in and play right away with the whole dynamic of the offensive line being in a little bit of a flux there. After that, there's not too many issues for the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my opinion. Also, there's a little bit of flux in the defensive in a few defensive positions, but the Ravens have a much tougher schedule. They are getting a little bit older, and they too have lost quite a few star players from that offense and that defense.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a different landscape for them in the AFC North. Timeless overview, AFC North, teams you like, teams you don't like. Who's on your radar this year?
Every team is definitely interesting, except the Browns. Like, the Browns still have some questions to answer just because of their receiving core isn't a fully impacted receiving core. The Bengals made the playoffs last year. I don't think that they'll get there again this year, but they are something that you need to pay attention to just because of the chemistry that they have there, and depending on how Marvin Lewis controls this team, because one season that they're down in the dumps, and then one season they have, you know, some redemption and getting to the playoffs. So this is something to watch closely, and this is something that we spoke on with Andy Dalton. Is he going to have the sophomore slump or what? So that's something I'm keeping a close eye on. The Baltimore Ravens, especially with the issues of these guys getting older at the defensive position and how they're noted as the Ravens defense. You can't overlook them as the Ravens defense. They have always carried these guys, and this has actually, you know, been the double-digit win team consistently. I just don't know how they put it together, but that's something I'm going to watch closely because I don't know if Baltimore gets to 10 or 11 wins like they normally do, but somehow, some way they put it together. So that's going to be interesting. The team right now that I'm looking at is Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh's schedule is definitely favorable, especially with Wallace and his holdout. If Wallace continues to hold out, that may be an overlapping issue. But right now, if he comes back soon and gets his feet under himself, I think the Steelers might be just fine. So this is going to be an interesting division.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all agree that there are two clear-cut leaders in the clubhouse with the Steelers and the Ravens. Rightfully so. I mean, there's a reason why these teams are pretty much Super Bowl contenders year in, year out. They have great defensive units. They have great leaders. They have great head coaches. And overall, just great franchises when you talk about the Steelers and the Ravens. I mean, the Steelers, you know, most people consider, the top franchise. So, you know, it's definitely a division that the big guys have a grip on it. You are right about Cincy. How are they going to do in the second year of Andy Dalton, A.J. Green? Can they continue that chemistry? The two were phenomenal last year together. Can they repeat? Can they get back to that elite level? Marvin Lewis, you know, this is not the Cincinnati correctional facility team that we've seen of year past. I think they've kind of gone a young movement, moving beyond Carson Palmer and Ocho Cinco and the rest of that gang. Cleveland, rebuilding, but, you know, I actually like the Browns. I'm not as low on the Browns as everyone else is. I think that this team could be a 7-9, 8-8 team. We'll see what Richardson is bringing to the table. I think Cleveland, even though, yes, I understand expectations are most people think this is a 5-1 team, I think they can make it a little bit closer than everybody else. I'm not willing to put Cleveland in the talk with the contenders or even saying that they're ready to win this division yet, but I think they're not as far back as you might think. And I think Richardson, if healthy and ready, All indications are that he's going to be go week one. Can definitely bring some excitement to Cleveland that they really haven't had in quite some time. So I think, hey, you never know. Let's see what happens. So I'm going to go right into some of the questions again, and we're going to do the impact player of the year for the AFC North. Timeless, I'll let you go first. Who is your impact player for the AFC North this year?
Wow, and the crazy thing is looking at the division and trying to pick an impact player, I am going to go with Antonio Brown, the guy that just inked his deal. Mike Wallace is actually having this spat, and the next weapon that he has in that offensive cavalry is Antonio Brown. And seeing what this guy is putting together in the preseason right now, he's a speedster. He has the quickness also to make those moves to get away from people. And he has a knack to get to the end zone or a move to change. So I'm definitely intrigued to see what this guy does. This is actually a great keep for the Steelers. The Steelers kept him in this roster. And this guy, he just sinks right in the middle of that, the defense, and makes that grab, and just he gets a lot of yaks. So I'm going with Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown is off the board. Over to James. James, who is your impact player of the year, AFC North?
A.J. Green. Usually it takes wide receivers a year to really get into their own, and A.J. Green really came out the gate and played phenomenally. I'm really interested to see what he does in year two, because that's usually when wide receivers start really playing to their capabilities, and A.J. Green is a phenomenal athlete and a phenomenal wide receiver, and probably and could possibly be the best player on the offensive side of the ball in this division.
Yeah, I love the A.J. Green pick. I mean, I agree with you there. I mean, to be honest, first person that came to mind, A.J. Green. I think, what can you say? The guy was a 1,000-yard receiver his first year. What can he do in his second year? Since you picked him and Timeless picked Antonio Brown, I'm going to go with a more conservative pick and say the impact player of the year for this division is going to come down to Mr. Flacco in Baltimore. All this talk that, he is the best or top five quarterback in the league and, all this expectation. Well, the Ravens, I know they're still built on their defensive foundation. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, come on, these guys impact every year. But for the Ravens to win this division, and I hate to say it, but Ray Rice has been such a workhorse, you got to say eventually will his numbers start going down slightly, and will they have to rely more on Flacco? I think he has to be the impact player of this division if they want to win this division. He has to take over and say, I am the up-and-coming talent of this division. I think most of us still give the nod to Big Ben for what he's done and winning championships. So in order for Flacco to live up to some of the press that he's gotten and getting this team every year into the playoffs and winning a game with them, just falling short of a Super Bowl last year, I think he has to have the greatest impact in order for this team to once again be a 12-win team. If he does not have a very good season, you're going to see Baltimore take a step or two back. Pittsburgh could win this division because of that. So I think Flacco is going to have a major impact. And I also want to say, for the record, I had to default to number two since Ross went with A.J. Green, which if I was going to stick the same, I couldn't agree more. A.J. Green, major impact, major upside for the Bengals. Fantasy sleeper. Broth, I'll let you kick off Fantasy Sleeper, AFC North. Who's your fantasy under the radar?
Well, I'm going to go with your guy, Joe Flacco, in this division, because obviously Ray Rice and A.J. Green are going to be top five round selections, so they don't particularly count. And outside of that, I mean, you look at Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco, and Joe Flacco is actually a guy who's going undrafted in most fantasy leagues. That are standard 10-team leagues. So he's a guy that could really step up his game this year. And so I think Joe Flacco might be that fantasy sleeper.
All right, fantasy sleeper Flacco. Timeless, who's your under-the-radar AFC North fantasy sleeper?
That is a very interesting question. Oh, man. I'm trying to think of a good sleeper, man, because I actually picked up Antonio Brown to be the guy. You know what? I'm going with Ben. I got to go with Ben. I got to go with the connection. I'm going with Big Ben. A lot of people actually slept on him in a lot of these fantasy drafts. Ben still presents a threat, whether it, you know, he's throwing the ball or if he's close to the end zone, you know, within the red zone of 5 yards, he could definitely scramble and get into the end zone. And he's also one of those quarterbacks that can move the chains when the pocket breaks down. Not to say like he's heavily a sleeper, but I had to go with somebody quickly so I don't take up a whole bunch of time. But a lot of people, especially with the fantasy draft that I just went through, I went through one this morning and actually the one, you know, briefly that we just did was Sports City. And Ben wasn't picked, you know, as high as possible. I think Ben actually went like 7th or 8th round, if I'm not mistaken. So a lot of people are sleeping what Ben presents. He's still a winner. He still has character to get these guys over the hump. And looking at their schedule, it's definitely favorable.
All right, I'm going to go with my fantasy sleeper of the year. And this guy, you know, he started to gain some attention last year. I think he's still going very late in drafts. I actually drafted him in the Sports City Chef draft the other night. I believe I want to got him in the 10th or later round, and that is Torrey Smith. The guy, I know Anquan Boldin is going to be a great possession guy, but, man, I mean, Torrey Smith is slowly emerging as Joe Flacco's favorite target. The other night in the preseason game, he had 8 catches for 100 yards. Flacco, you got to remember, the team's offense threw for 4 touchdowns. Flacco threw for 2. Actually, they threw for 5. So they were lighting it up offensively, throwing the ball. And, you know, if I'm liking my impact player, it's Joe Flacco. I got to like who's going to be catching the ball from him. And I'm going to go with Torrey Smith, especially where you can get him. Wide receiver so deep in fantasy this year. You can get a guy like Torrey Smith who can emerge as Baltimore's number one, and you could be taking him, you know, 100th overall. I mean, that's a steal, in my opinion, a fantasy sleeper. I guess we can call it the fantasy steal, other draft, or a sleeper, whatever, however you want to call it, but I'm going with Torrey Smith. AFC North predictions. Broth, I'll let you kick off our division winners and wild card. Who's going to win the division for the AFC North, and do you see a wild card coming out of here?
Well, as I said yesterday, the Steelers are the favorite in this division, if you ask me. Their defense is still solid. Their offense is getting there, and with a new offensive coordinator, they're going to be passing the ball a lot more. So the little slump in the running game is not going to be as big of an issue this year. And also, they have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL on top of that. So with all that said, they're going to be the top team. And I'm going to say no. No wild card in the AFC North this season.
All right. So the Steelers are the pick. No wild card for Broth. Timeless, AFC North, give me your division winner, and will there be a wild card?
I'm glad Sirius is not here. Yes, it will be the Steelers that win this division. Just looking at how the schedule looks, and it definitely favors them. I'm going to disagree with Broth. I think the wild card does come out of here. Even if the Ravens don't get the double digits, I think 9-7 or 8-8 or have them at the doorstep of the playoffs. And if this is the last year for Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, I wouldn't want to see these guys go out, you know, at the end of Week 17 and then bon voyage. I mean, this is the Baltimore Ravens defense, and this is what they've been known for the past 17 seasons, because that's how long Ray Lewis has been in the game. This is his 17th season. So I couldn't see the Ravens missing the playoffs, especially with that on the minds of a lot of people around the NFL and the football minds and the fans alike.
All right, I'm gonna go against the grain here, and I'm going to say that the Ravens win the division. I do think it's a toss-up. I think, you know, what can you say? I could have picked the Steelers, but I'm going to go against the grain. I'm not going to pick the same team, but I will say yes, we will have a wild card and it will be the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think there's no way you could take them out of the playoff picture. I think the Ravens and the Steelers, it comes down to it, are top AFC teams, top AFC defenses. I know they're getting older, but they can still ball. And for this, you know, I could really pick the Steelers and pick the Ravens as a wild card, but I, you know what? I'm going to go against you, too. I'm going to take the Ravens, say they win this division 12-4. Steelers finish up 11-5, both of them in the playoffs, battling out as they only should. So AFC North, we'll leave it there. We're getting close to halfway through the show. We still have two divisions to go, and we're going to talk AFC brunch style today. If you want to call in and join us, the call-in number is 917-889-9592. If you're listening on the download, thank you for tuning into SportsCityChefs.com. Also, the chat room is open if you want to go in there. We got some people in there throwing out their opinions. Inner City Ninja. We got Sports City Broth. A couple of us in there. So we'll leave it there. I'm gonna save the East for last. So I'm gonna go from the North out West and talk about the AFC West. Peyton Manning's new home division. Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders. It's a packed division. Timeless. When I talk AFC West, what comes to mind? Who is your favorites, and maybe somebody that you don't like too much?
Well, the guy that I don't like too much, but I respect a whole lot, is Peyton Manning. So he's the first thing that comes to mind. But looking at this division has interesting defenses, except probably the Raiders. The Raiders' defense with a question mark. But this is basically the quarterback-driven division. One, I'm going to look at Kansas City and Matt Castle and see what production he comes out with, because we have people around Sports City that think that he'll do exceptionally well this season. So that's something that we have to keep an eye on. Peyton Manning trying to prove to the world that he still is Peyton doggone Manning. If he could come out there and at least have these guys with a winning season, that's, you know, exceptional, because they basically – made it to the playoffs last year by the hairs of their chinny chin chin, and with Tebow carrying them there and everybody here. I think we could agree that Peyton Manning is a better quarterback than Tim Tebow. Even though Tim Tebow is one of those energizers, one of those guys that's for entertainment and gets people involved, I still think that Peyton will bring a different facet to this Broncos team, so that's something that I'm watching. And Phillip Rivers, he had a very down season. I don't want to say bad. Well, it was bad in his form. So, you know, down season for Phillip Rivers, I want to see a bounce back out of him. And for the Oakland Raiders, I mean, Carson Palmer on the bill back of, you know, coming in midseason, taking over the team, and now having a full offseason, coming in and having that chemistry with the receivers for a whole offseason. And he looked pretty good yesterday up against the Detroit Lions, a team that I love and follow. So this is something to watch, man. I like this quarterback-driven league, and then also on the defensive side of the ball, whose defense is going to be a better defense impact-wise.
All right, Broth, Wild Wild West, AFC, who do you like out there? Who do you maybe dislike? I know your second favorite team in the NFL. You have to be liking them, right? The Oakland Raiders?
No, absolutely not. This is a division that's very interesting, though. Last season, there was only one team that was 7-9, and the rest of the teams in that division were 8-8. So I mean, it was really a division that could have gone to anyone. But the team that I consider my favorite is probably the Kansas City Chiefs. They were a team that was still one game out of the playoffs and ended up actually beating the Green Bay Packers last year, despite the fact that they had half their team on the injury list for the season. As far as the offensive part of the team, they've lost Tony Bollaki, they've lost Jamaal Charles, they lost Matt Castle, and still found ways to win football games. On the defensive side, they lost Eric Berry, whom could possibly be a top three safety in the conference, and that was a major blow to that defense. Then they lost a couple of other players that are less notable. So I think that is a team that people are really sleeping on right now. And, of course, the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning, they do have a strong pass-rushing team. So if Peyton can get the mojo going with those wide receivers, which is a real problem, thus far in the preseason is that the ball is getting there a lot earlier than the receivers are used to getting the ball from Lobby McTebow and having Peyton Manning throw the ball. It comes to them exactly as they get out of their breaks, and they're just not ready for the ball to be coming to them that fast. And that's something that they're going to really have to work on as the season goes along. Otherwise, it's going to result in tip balls, interceptions, drop passes, and it's going to really hurt the Broncos in the long run. Outside of that, of course, we've got San Diego Chargers. This is probably the worst San Diego Chargers team that they've had in years. And Norv Turner is still their head coach / offensive coordinator. And I just don't see it from them. There's no guys there that are truly good players. Or I should say, not truly good players. Of course, they have Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, etc. But Antonio Gates has injury concerns. Phillip Rivers had a down year last year, and the team around him just got worse. From the offensive line to the wide receivers, it just got worse. So I just don't see it from this team. And they'll be fighting with Oakland to be at the bottom of the division.
Now, I do agree this is a very close division. I mean, we saw that last year. They won the division. Denver was able to sneak out. I agree. I think this is a wide-open division. I think, yes, San Diego has maybe regressed a little bit, losing McNeil, losing Vincent Jackson, Ryan Matthews, the inconsistency. And the one consistent thing about his game is he consistently gets hurt. Antonio Gates banged up. I do think San Diego, though, will be in contention. I do actually like Denver with Peyton. I think the leadership and, you know, the intangibles, once regular season starts, the guys will be a little bit more focused. They'll be ready for those balls. If Tim Tebow could lead his team to a division and a wild card win, you got to think Peyton has a chance to do it as well, even at his age, even coming off an injured plague season. Kansas City, I like them. Jamaal Charles will be back. Peyton Hillis gives you a great 1-2. That the defense is young. They're a good, solid, tough group. I think Kansas City can be in the mix. And for Oakland, coming up the back horse, I mean, if the horse of that team, Run DMC, McFadden, gets going, stays healthy, I mean, you could talk about the top five running back this year. You could even say that this division could have multiple ones if Jamaal Charles and Matthews and et cetera stays healthy. You could have a couple guys hit the top 10 fantasy points-wise for running back. So I think there's a very close division. We could see a lot of 7-9, 8-8, maybe 9-7 could win this division. I think it's wide open. I like the AFC West. With that being said, I'm gonna flip it to the question of the hour for each division. Who is the impact player of this division? Timeless, I'll let you kick off the question. Who's your impact player, AFC West?
I started off with him. I got to stay with him and Peyton Manning. Him having a new start, new team, and he's close to the end of his career, that this actually could either make or break a wave in his situation, whether he still has it in his back pocket to still dominate defenses and make those calls and make other defenses guess at what he's presenting, and working with a lot of young receivers too. I mean, you know, they're going to sponge everything that he says. They're not going to want to mess up and be in front of Peyton Manning like that, because, you know, Peyton is just going to be befuddled on the sideline. So, I got to give Peyton Manning his respect and what he can bring to the Denver Broncos. And this is also the team that actually went to the playoffs in advance after beating a Pittsburgh Steelers team, but lost in the second round to a New England Patriot team. So I think that could be on their mind. They could use that as a driving force. John Fox is actually a run-first coach, and working with a quarterback that actually knows how to throw the ball and get out of those situations where it's 7 or 8 in the box, I think this actually favors the Broncos. But not to say that the Broncos are a clear-cut division winner, but Peyton Manning is the guy right now.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning has a huge impact, not only on the chances for the Broncos, this division, the layout of the AFC, and even the landscape of the NFL. I mean, this guy is so long the poster boy of the NFL, and now he's making his return. We saw the hype with the free agency. We'll see if the hype carries over to the regular season. Broth, AFC West, impact player, who are you rolling with?
I'm going to go with and Peyton Manning is definitely the high point of this division, but I'm going to go with Elvis Dumervil. Now, he is going to be out probably for the first 2 weeks with his off-field situation, but Elvis Dumervil is one of the stronger defensive ends of this division, and he's been a double-digit sack guy regardless if he's been the 4-3, the 3-4. Every single year that he's been healthy for 16 games, he's been a double-digit sack guy. So he's going to be a true impact player in this division.
Now, while I do respect both of your guys' picks, Peyton and Dumervil, I am going to stay away from the Broncos, even though I could totally give the time. Let's jump on that Peyton Manning thing, Ryan, and say this division and how it lays out will come down to the play of Peyton Manning and how much dividends it provides for the Broncos. Can he get them to 10 wins? Will this team only be an 8-8 team? But when I think of impact player of the division, I think this guy, it truly relies on his shoulders, and that is Darren McFadden. No more Michael Bush in town. Carson Palmer is going to need this guy healthy for the whole year. We've already heard that Oakland plans on not, I guess you could say, taking the load lightly for him because of an injury last year. I mean, McFadden, when he is healthy the last 2 years, he is a top five running back. When he's healthy, he does it all. But the problem has been he has suffered a little bit, too many injuries, a little injury prone. But if Oakland's going to have any chance at this division, you got to think McFadden needs to be that guy, needs to have a 1,200-plus yard season, needs to be healthy for 13-plus games. Carson Palmer and the Oakland Raiders are going to need it to be in contention. And I got to say, he's the impact. I mean, it's a difference between the Raiders being in contention and beating Denver, beating San Diego, is a guy like McFadden compared to not, and all of a sudden being a 5-win team. And you pretty much to lay down of the division, and then everyone else is running away with it. I do think Phillip Rivers is a huge impact. Broth already mentioned earlier that they've really taken a step back talent-wise, losing Vincent Jackson, Matthews being injured already in the preseason. How healthy is Antonio Gates? So I do think we have to do a little honorable mention for Phillip Rivers because he will have a major impact in how the San Diego performed this year. You got to like where everyone's going, and especially where you guys each going with a Bronco. I mean, this division, I really do think comes down to the Denver Broncos. Can they win it, and or will they not win it? So, saying it like that, I'll go with my pick being Darren McFadden as the impact player of the AFC West. That being said, fantasy sleeper or slash steal of a draft, AFC West. I'll let you go first, Timeless.
Sleeper. This is interesting. Sleeper, I'm going with Eric Decker, wide receiver out of Denver. I got to stick with this team, and especially him having to bounce back after his knee injury and the connection that him and Peyton are having. I know a lot of people are actually looking over the fact of Peyton Manning being a decent quarterback and trying to have a chip on his shoulder and what receivers he's going to be able to throw the ball to. I'm going to go with Eric Decker. I think that this connection could actually work out for the short term right now. And if they start having that chemistry, watch out, because he actually has a go-to guy with decent speed.
All right, bro. AFC West sleeper.
AFC West sleeper. Of course, all of the main guys in this division are going to be top five round pick, with the exception of Peyton Manning, oddly enough, is not getting the fantasy football love that he's been getting in years past. So I guess that could be the sleeper in this division. But I'm going to go with Jonathan Baldwin from the Kansas City Chiefs. He's really coming into his own this offseason. It's going to be his third year in the league. He's got Dwayne Bowe on the other side of him. and Tony Milwaukee playing the underneath game. So I think that he could have a real breakout year this year.
All right. Well, I do think there are multiple sleepers in this division, guys maybe that have had productive seasons and I could turn the corner. I think, one, you got to say Darius Hayward-Bey could have a breakout year. Yes, I agree with Timeless Decker. I even think Demaryius Thomas could break out this year. If I'm going to go with a sleeper and a guy that's going to rebound, I think I'm going to say he's not even a starter on his team, not even the best running back on his team, but that Peyton Hillis. And when Broth picked him the other night, I was like, damn it. I was ready to pick Hillis. I had already drafted Jamal Charles. I thought great to handcuff him, but you know, I think Peyton Hillis now back with his old coordinator that made him so productive in Cleveland. Jamal Charles, the year that Jamal Charles had a fantastic year and fantastic fantasy season, he was splitting carries with Thomas Jones. So I think touchdown vulture, yes. I think that Peyton Hillis could have a very productive year for the Kansas City Chiefs. And considering you can probably get him in the cheap as a late round, once you've got picking handcuffs, I mean, you can get him, and who knows, Jamal Charles goes down, and now you have a starting running back, a guy that Kansas City, I think, will be giving the ball to, especially in the red zone. So fantasy sleeper for the value in the late round pick, I really do like Peyton Hillis rebounding, going back to his pre-Madden jinx time. So I'll say Hillis, I'll throw it out there. Let's go into the winners of the division, AFC West. Broth, you can kick it off for the division. Give me who's going to win this division, and will there be a wild card?
I'm going to throw a knuckleball here if you haven't been listening to Sports City a lot. I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs are back. They're healthy, and as long as they stay that way, they're the strongest team top to bottom in the division. Peyton Manning is by far the best quarterback, but he doesn't have nearly as much around him as the Kansas City Chiefs do, especially if you consider depth into the conversation. They're a deeper team, they're a stronger team, and Romeo Crennel is one of the better defensive minds in the league. So I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs to be the top team in this division. And yes, there is going to be a wild card. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos to be the wild card in this division.
All right. So Broth is locking it in. He's taking Kansas City to win the division, and he's saying that Peyton will be good enough to get the Broncos into a wild card spot. Broth, I like the picks. Timeless, AFC West. You know what to do. Division winner and wild card. Will it happen?
Okay, let me start backwards because I'm still fishing for the division winner. I don't know which way I want to go. Broth actually keep throwing the Chiefs in my face, and the crazy thing about it is I've been thinking about how this defense is, and they got it back, and Romeo Crennel is there, so that's what actually got me to bring it back. So, yes, there will be the wild card coming out of the West. I think it's one of the three. I don't think the Raiders bounce back, but to pick the division winner between these three teams right now, it is so tough. But, Mark, you know me. Broth knows me. I got to stick with my fantasy quarterback guy to prove it different. I'm going with rolling on a river.
He's going with the Chargers. You going with the Chargers to win a division?
Yes, I think the Chargers have it in their tank to get this.
All right, time is picking the Chargers. Who is your wild card then?
It's between the Chiefs or the Broncos. It depends on how successful the Broncos are. If the Broncos could get anywhere between that 8-8 even season and to 9-7, 10-6, then it's going to be interesting. But I agree with Broth. I give the Chiefs some credit just because of they said that Romeo had a full, you know, offseason to work with this defense, and he's a great defensive mind, just spilling from New England all the way from Cleveland now to Kansas City, but not having to worry about too much and not too many cameras and media being in his face. He just gets to be him. So I don't want to totally overlook the Chiefs. It really depends on what the Denver Broncos do present. If they're struggling, then it's going to be a clear-cut, easy pick to go with the Chiefs. But I think it's a coin toss between the two of them, between the Broncos and the Chiefs. But if I had to pick one, I'll go with the Chiefs. I'll give Ross some love December all day long.
All right, so timeless. Yeah. This coin, and today, August 26th, Sunday, the Chiefs land on heads for the division wild card. Man, this is a tough division. I think it is up for grabs as it was last year. I think we could see 1-2 games separate the whole entire division. Couldn't agree with you guys more. I love the Chiefs. I'll just answer this question first. No, there will not be a wild card to come out of the division. I'll be the first one to go against it and say there will be only one team come out. I think it will be long, hard fought, close, 9-7 wins the division. And today I am predicting the Denver Broncos to win the division at 9-7, the Peyton factor. I'm still on the bus. Does he still have it? One last run with this, I guess you could say, great career of his. And for in order for him to really fulfill and try to go after a championship, you got to think he has to get in there in the first 2 or 3 years with the Broncos. So I'm saying Peyton will somehow find a way to get better as the season progresses, get this team on track, and really be the leader that they need. 9 wins, 10 wins. I can't doubt Peyton Manning until I see him on the field, unable to produce the way that we know he has been. And I'm not playing too much into preseason. I think preseason is just that, preseason. I think once it's regular season, everything heightens. You give Peyton Manning 4 quarters. You get these receivers some time. I know that this offensive line is not as good, but you know what? That's something that Peyton Manning makes up for with the ability to get the ball out so fast. I'm taking the Denver Broncos to win the division for the 2012-2013 season. And like I said, I will not take a wild card out of this division.
How many wins do the Broncos get?
Well, I said they'll win 9-7 will win this division. So 9-7, Denver might get to 10 wins. But to play exactly as I said originally, I'll stick with the 9-7. Denver Broncos. I think San Diego, Kansas City, and Oakland. We could see two of these teams finish 8-8. One of the teams finish 7-9. I think that's how close this division is. I think 9 wins can win you this division. Can a team win 10? Yes, of course. But you know, if I'm just gonna stick with it being a close division, I'll say 9-7, 8-8, and 7-9 will be the respective records in this division. That being said, we only have one division left to go, 30 minutes left on the broadcast. This is the AFC Brunch. We've been breaking down division winners, one division go. Ross and myself each have a wild card spot left for the last division. Timeless has already used his two. I'm going to give a quick rundown of who our picks were so far, and then we'll go into the last division, and then we're gonna do a closeout on the division conference champions, etc. Timeless has picked the Texans, the Steelers, the Chargers, as well as the Chiefs and Ravens to make the wild card. Roth has the Texans, Steelers, and Chiefs winning the division with the Broncos as a wild card. And myself have the Texans, Ravens, and Broncos winning the divisions with the Steelers as my one wild card. AFC East, I had to save them for the last. I even saved them an extra 10 minutes because I know this division probably can get drawn out. Brought love infatuation for Tim Tebow and Mark Sanchez. I knew he might just talk for 30 minutes about them alone. Timeless, I'll come to you first, let you open up on the AFC East. Likes, dislikes, what do you think about the Belichick division and AFC East and thoughts in general?
Oh, man, the thought of the AFC East is, who takes the Patriots off the top? It's kind of like the old school movie back in the day. Mark, you remember this. It's like Tom Brady got the long hair and his hair wrapped, and he got the 3 bottles, and he tapping it saying, "Warriors, come out and play." And it's really like nobody has came out to play with these Patriots yet, and they're adding weapons. They got people that knocking Michael Vick out of games. They just picked up an Olympic star in depth that could run a 4-2 and he'd keep up with Usain Bolt, and he'll be a part of the return game, and let alone if they throw him into some of the plays, like if he goes out and receives passes or is in the backfield, that's going to be crazy. They still got Gronkowski, the guy that led the league, not even just tight ends or the AFC. He led the league in receiving touchdowns, and they got the guy that, you know, has the most Super Bowls in the league right now, being Tom Brady. So until one of these teams could actually step up and knock these guys off, you know the Jets always have that trash talk a week when they play the Patriots, and Rex Ryan calling Tom Brady out, and Reaver saying that he's going to stop Wes Welker. It's always going to be that excitement in this division. But the question that I have is, which team has it in them to sweep the Patriots, to make this interesting? And I still question if that is going to be happening. But I want to see it be done sooner than later.
All right, Brock, I'll come over to you, AFC East. What's your thoughts?
Well, the Jets thus far, from what I've seen, is the worst reincarnation of this franchise that I have seen in a long time. I just don't know what on earth they're thinking about offensively. They have they have two productive starters and one wide receiver. They have nothing at quarterback, nothing at running back, nothing at three-fifths of the offensive line. Dustin Keller, I guess, is okay. And that's it. That's just as far as the offensive side of the football. And this is not the defense of a few years ago that was carrying the offense to the AFC Championship game. Now, does Tony Sperano have a magic potion that's going to make Tebow more effective? Perhaps. We've seen Tony Sperano work miracles before. But I just don't see it. I just don't see what exactly is going on with this. As far as the Miami Dolphins, they are getting better. They're at the right track. Ryan Tannehill is going to prove to be a very good quarterback and at least a starter that the Miami Dolphins haven't had in years. The running game is starting to improve, and the defense is starting to work its way through it. The Buffalo Bills are kind of the darling, the paper winners of the offseason this year. They've gotten better at the secondary. They've picked up Mario Williams, which is going to be a double-digit sack type guy. They have a very strong defensive line, and their offense has the ability to score with what could be considered kind of lower-end talent. And Fred Jackson was the league leader in all-purpose yards until he got hurt. So that's another thing that people are kind of forgetting about the Buffalo Bills, that when Fred Jackson was playing, they were winning. They were winning a lot of games until he got knocked down in, right around midseason. And then there are the New England Patriots, a team that consistently gets better, a team that is always retooling, always getting top talent onto that team, and they're the team to beat. They're definitely the team to beat in this division. I wouldn't be surprised if they got the number one overall seed in the AFC this year.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, the AFC East does belong to New England. Can anyone say that they're not the favorite? I don't know. When you think about what Belichick has done, just raising the bar there, I mean, you pretty much expect a 12-win team. Tom Brady, as long as he's healthy, is going to be productive. And they just keep adding weapons. I mean, it's funny, when we were drafting New England players are being drafted in the top rounds. I mean, rightfully respected, right? I mean, Welker's getting picked. Brandon Lloyd's getting picked. Gronkowski's getting picked. Aaron Hernandez is getting picked. And then I'm thinking to myself, man, Brady only has one ball, but But there's going to be a lot of guys having productive fantasy numbers this year, and really they don't affect each other. I know, you know, if you have them all on the same lineup, right, you're going to take away from one or another, but they're all going to each get their own opportunities. They're each going to have opportunities to score touchdowns, touches in the red zone, receptions. This is the way that they play, the way that Brady seamlessly just distributes to everyone. You know, Gronkowski, I mean, his numbers alone last year, even if you split them in half and add in Hernandez, I mean, that means that you're having two very, very productive tight ends. And you also factor in Brandon Lloyd. It sounds like he's been making everything. The Pats are clear-cut, I agree, a favorite of this division. I've been watching Hard Knocks. I like what the Dolphins are doing. I kind of agree with somebody in the chat room is saying. Matt Moore is probably the best option for the Dolphins, but because of Tannehill being the face that they want to be of their franchise, they're going with him as their starter, rightfully so. I think he's played pretty well, but Matt Moore to me just has that little bit more experience, and I think we could see Matt Moore at some point this year if everything doesn't work out for Tannehill. I mean, David Garrard was before that knee injury. Freakish knee injury, on track to be the starter of this team. So that just shows you there alone where this team was just a couple weeks ago. And now all of a sudden the rookie is pretty much front center and will be the Dolphins starting quarterback. I think losing Ocho Cinco, a.k.a. Chad Johnson, has no impact on this team. The Dolphins, it's going to be a tough year for them. There are some guys in this division I do like. When we get into the impact of fantasy sleepers, what can you say about the Jets? All the headlines and really, I could care less. This team, you know, the old saying, you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I don't even know what to make of it. I think they can be a good team, but man, through their first couple preseason games, I mean, this team just doesn't put up any points, and you got to wonder, I mean, will there be a quarterback controversy? How long before fans are chanting for Tebow? How long before everyone wants Sanchez's head? Can he be the starting star for this team? So many questions. Can Sean Green ever really turn the corner? Rex Ryan's defense, will they be able to keep up? And you know, I think maybe too much bark, not enough bite. I do think they'll be a contender, but really, the Jets puzzle me. And the one team that you kind of forget about is that other team up there in New York, the Buffalo Bills. And you're right. When Fred Jackson was healthy, the team was very good last year. Ryan Fitzpatrick came into his own. Stevie Johnson came into his own. I mean, at one point, this team was on track for a wild card last year. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're in the hunt this year. They've added some good pieces. I know they just recently released Sean Merriman. But the Buffalo Bills, we can call them the other New York team, could be in the hunt. I mean, it's not all about the Super Bowl champs and then the Broadway Joes and Mr. Tebow over there with the Jets. I mean, we could be talking about the other team in New York as being an under-the-radar. So, you know, I think – of course, Pats clear-cut, team of the division, team of the last 10 years in the NFL. So you got to mention them, give them the respect. But we're gonna be surprised, I think, with a few teams how this rolls out. Timeless Impact Player of the Year, AFC East. This will be your last Impact Player. Who's going to be the one for the AFC East?
Wow, and in this division, I'm going to stay in the area where I'm from in New England, and I got to go with the big boy himself, Gronk. I can't get away from him right now. Even though I looked at him fantasy-wise and said, you know, a lot of people are going to be high on him just because of the season he had last year. He had 17 touchdowns fresh out of the gate, and I try to figure out how defenses are going to focus on trying to slow him down. But he's still 6'6", 260, and he runs a 4.5. Like you got to give him credit to be in the middle of things while the rest of that secondary is worried about the receivers in Wes Welker, the receivers in Brandon Lloyd, the receivers in Deion Branch, and what comes out of the backfield for Tom Brady. So all of those weapons around Gronkowski, I still go with Gronkowski being the impact player of the division.
All right, going with the tight end who likes to take his shirt off and dance post game, Mr. Gronkowski. Broth, I know sometimes you like to take your shirt off when you watch the Patriots play games, but who are you picking as your impact player of the year?
I'm going with Buffalo Bill, Mario freaking Williams. The guy is phenomenal. He is one of the best pass rushers in the league. He has gotten double-digit sacks every year he's been in the league. Even years when his season has been cut short, he's gotten at least close to double-digit sacks. Even when he was out week, I believe, 4 or 5 of the regular season in Houston, I believe he got 8 sacks in as many weeks. So this guy is going to be a major impact for the Buffalo Bills this season.
All right. Well, as much as I would love to go with Impact Player of the Year and say it's going to be Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow, honestly, I just don't want to even answer them. So I'm going to just pass on the New York Jets. And I'm going to go right to the other New York team. And Broth, I like the Mario freaking Williams, but I'm going to go to Fred freaking Jackson and say if Fred Jackson can carry the rock the way he did last year, not only could the Buffalo Bills keep in the race for the division. I mean, I think this team could win a wild card spot. I think Fitzpatrick needs a reliable option. Plus, you know, Fred Jackson was pretty darn good last year. And I think just the impact of having him healthy, this is a good defense. You talk about Mario Williams, and also the way to keep them fresh is to run the ball a lot. I think I'm going to go with Fred freaking Jackson as my impact player. I do like C.J. Spiller. I think he could be a great mix in there to keep Fred safe and healthy. But I think the impact will come down to how well he can perform. I mean, last year he was just crushing it until he got injured. He was leading rusher in the league, and he was just short of 1,000 yards, and then boom, just like that. It's over. So I think Fred Jackson, major impact, 31. You're getting past the 30 years as a running back. You don't have too much time left. This is the time to do it. So I'm going to say Jackson could have a major impact on this team and also the AFC East in general. Fantasy sleeper, under the radar, steal of a draft. Broth, give me your pick for the AFC East.
Well, I'm not going to take your guy, although I'm pretty sure who you're going to pick. So I'm going to go with Brandon Lloyd from the New England Patriots. This is a guy who's been in Josh McDaniels' system for the past 3 years. He was working it while Josh was in Denver. He was working it while he was in St. Louis with the Rams. And now he's in New England. He's probably the most in tune with the offense right now, more than anybody else on the team. And he's going to be Tom Brady's number one option at the wide receiver position. All of that makes Brandon Lloyd a real true fantasy sleeper because you're getting him in the 6th and 7th round.
Yeah, the guy just makes catches. And all the reports are that in practice, he just mops up everything Brady throws his way. Definitely could be a fantasy sleeper. Plus, you got to figure he's probably like the 4th or 5th player picked from New England. I mean, it's not even we're not even saying this guy could be the 5th player that is drafted on this team that can make a fantasy spot. It's crazy. Timeless fantasy sleeper under the radar. Who you got?
I'm going with Stevie Johnson, wide receiver from the Buffalo Bills. He still is their impact player on the outside, and a lot of people are overlooking him just because of a few drops here and there, but this guy definitely has big play capability. He's a threat to a lot of secondaries in the league, and I think he's that guy. So I'm going with the guy from Buffalo, Stevie J.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of different people that we can go to. I'm going to actually throw out a crazy name. This guy has been a sleeper of mine. I didn't draft him the other night, but I think this guy could have a breakout year. I know this is totally off the wall. This guy's beyond sleeper. This guy's probably not even drafted. Some people probably won't even know who this name is. But I'm going to throw it out there anyways because I think somebody has to do it. And because Chad Johnson leaves Miami with a void at receiver, somebody is going to break out of the Miami Dolphins pack and be the guy there. And now I think Devon Bass has some potential. This guy, under the radar, I'm going to throw it out here, Roberto Wallace. Guy's big, 6'4", 6'5", 220, strong. He's only been with the Dolphins for a few years. I'm sure if you've been watching Hard Knocks, you've seen some behind the scenes, what he's doing there in practice, how he's just physically gifted beyond. And, you know, I think, yes, it's going to take some growing, but, you know, that's what happens. A young quarterback like Tannehill will find a young guy that he built chemistry with who will just catapult on his personal depth chart as a favorite target. And I think Roberto Wallace, a guy that probably is not drafted in some people's drafts, probably still a free agent. Nobody's picking up. But after 2 and 3 weeks of playing, and he's putting up 100-yard games, he's putting up a touchdown with 80 yards, people are going to be like, you know what, I need to stash this guy in my bench. So I'm going to go out there. I love him as my fantasy sleeper in all of football this year, never mind this division. But I got to throw him out there. Call me crazy. Roberto Wallace, Miami Dolphins wide receiver. I know it's wide open. The other guy I do like, I don't know, I don't know if you guys, Hard Knocks, if you've seen this Mr. 7-Eleven, Mr. Chris Hogan, the guy catches everything in practice, but will that carry over to a game? I don't know, but funny enough, you know, the Miami Dolphins, really, somebody has to break that pack, and I'm going with Roberto Wallace. All right, guys, we got division winner and wild card pick. Timeless, you've already used your wild card, so I'm going to let you just pick the division winner. Give it to me.
Oh, man, I'm going with I'm not going to even do that. New England Patriots until somebody shows me that they can knock these guys off. Just like I said, it, you know, there's a ton of potential around this division. I just don't see anybody knocking off the evil genius and the supermodel's husband. So I'm going with the Patriots and Giselle's husband.
All right, Ross, AFC East division winner, and your wild card will be? We have technical difficulties at Brock. Brock, do you still check on the air?
Check, 1, 2. Is my microphone working?
We have you back, yes.
Okay, good. Well, the division winner and the number one overall seed in the AFC is going to be the New England Patriots. They are a better team than last year, and the schedule, if you look at it, is just ridiculously easy. I would not be surprised at all if they went 14-2, 15-1, or dare I even say 16-0 for the season. They don't have many difficult opponents. The Patriots could definitely make their way into that situation. As far as the wild card, I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. They are a team that can really score with minimal talent. That's a tribute to Chan Gailey and his ability to create an offense. Their defense is vastly improved. They've been building it for years, and now it's finally ready to compete with everybody in the division. The Jets are terrible. Will probably be a top 5 pick in the NFL draft this year. And then there's the Miami Dolphins, who are improving, who will be 3rd in the division.
All right. Well, I'm gonna agree. We'll go agreeing on the AFC South and agree all on the AFC East. New England Patriots, head of the class, they will win this division. Not much to say there. I'll disagree and move it to my wild card pick. Now, while I do believe Tim Tebow can do great things off the field. I don't think on the field this year is going to be much of a success. I do think Sanchez will be more or less the quarterback all year. There'll be some controversy. The New York circus will end just like that. I'm going with exactly who Broth picked. The other New York team, the Buffalo Bills, baby. I agree. I guess Broth, that's his new second favorite team this year. Might be my second favorite team this year, the Buffalo Bills. Get Bills like Jim Kelly. I'm picking them to as well make a wild card appearance. I think this team, I just something about them. I like them. I really do think Fitzpatrick played well last year. Take away Fred Jackson's injury, we could have saw the team last year make the playoffs. Adding Mario Williams to the defensive roster always is going to improve you. So I'm going with it. Buffalo Bills, son. That is the wrap on our divisions, division winners, and wild card picks. We only have 10 minutes to go, guys. So I'm going to ask the final questions of the conference. Who will play in the AFC Championship, and who will win the AFC? We're predicting now for, down the road, but hey, if we're going to do an AFC brunch, we got to hit a home run on the end. I'm going to let Mr. Timeless step up to the plate first and give me his picks. Timeless, AFC Championship game and AFC Champion of the Year. Who are you rolling with?
Steelers, Texas in the AFC Championship. And the winner is, that's right, my man. Now, I'm going with Houston. I think the Texans are getting to the bowl this year. They will go to the Super Bowl with a balanced attack. I'll say the Houston Texans take that game and shock the world and the Pittsburgh Steelers alike.
Woo! Timeless is going with Houston, going with H-Town. All right, the Texans are the first pick for AFC Championship on the brunch. Timeless is going with the Texans. Lock it in. Broth, the floor is yours. Who is your AFC Championship game and AFC champion?
Well, I'm going to save the winner of the championship game for the Saturday show. But I'll give a little sneak peek. I'm going to go with the New England Patriots going head-to-head against the Houston Texans for the AFC Championship.
All right. Broth is going to save his championship pick. If you want to catch his championship pick, you have to tune in to which show are you going to release the championship pick on? It's going to be your Saturday morning Gridiron Chefs.
Yes, sir. The Saturday morning Gridiron Chef show is where I'll be predicting everything. Everything.
Broth will leave no stone unturned. Check it out. He's picking New England, Houston. He hears Time is picking Houston. Will they agree or agree to disagree? I'm gonna go against it all, guys. I'm gonna say neither New England or Houston will make the AFC Championship game. I'm going to pick, drum roll, please. All right, no drum roll. Baltimore will play the Denver Broncos in the AFC Championship game. That's right, Peyton, one more time for good charm, knocking out New England. And Baltimore, one more time, taking down Pittsburgh to advance to the AFC Championship game. And I'm going to say the AFC champion for this upcoming season will be, for last time legends are made, Baltimore Ravens advance to the Super Bowl. One last shot for Ray Lewis, one last hope. Flacco going beyond, getting Harbaugh some trophies, putting the Harbaugh Bowl as a possibility. But, yes, I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. With that being said, this has been a great edition of the AFC Brunch. Next week will be part two. It'll be the NFC Brunch. Tune in here 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL regular season. So the brunch has to serve up as we do. Get ready for the NFL season. We're giving our picks today. Come back next week. Tune in for the NFC. Join us on air. Another great show, guys. Broth, I'll pass it over to you. Anything you want to plug, promo, close out with, let the people know where else they can hear you. And thanks again for joining us on this AFC brunch.
Well, you'll find me Monday on the Fantasy Feast, Wednesday on the NFL Front Office Show as we close out the front office for the free-for-all coming in next week. And then finally, the Grand Chefs, where myself and Mr. Timeless are going to be predicting absolutely everything that comes along with the NFL season this year. That'll be a whole lot of fun.
Oh, yes. Timeless, I'll pass it to you. What do you got under your sleeve? Big predictions today. Hope you're ready for next week's NFC brunch.
I'm definitely ready for whatever we throw out here in the kitchen, man. Anybody that has a liking for baseball, the baseball buffet will be on in the next 30 minutes, so check that out. I'll be back on the air. You know, I keep my head somewhere in the kitchen seeing what's going on. I'm around, but more than likely, you'll hear me back on the air Tuesday, the Lions Den. Check us out. Awesome show. We've been getting a lot of support all across the doggone globe. We actually got people overseas listening to us out of the UK and also in Thailand. And not like I'm in my own country, but just check us out, man. SportsCityChefs.com. Continue to check out the website, the blog. Show the people love. Spread the word. We've been getting some consistently good numbers around Sports City. So thanks for everybody that's been downloading the show or checking us out live. And, Moles, another one of these magical Sundays, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, you can't come here for cereal. Now you know.
No Lucky Charms, no Wheaties. We're just serving brunch. Thanks for tuning in. Next week, the NFC brunch. Come back, join us on air. Give us your predictions. 2 weeks away from the start of the regular season, guys. You got to be excited. I know I'm getting excited. We'll be hearing the music soon. We're getting fired up. Facebook.com. Son of a friend. It's time. We'll see you. Enjoy your Sunday. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind. Yeah.
Ready?
Can I get an encore? Do you want more?
Cook and roll with the Brooklyn Boys.